Okay, this is the Sustainability Commission meeting. It's Tuesday, December 10th, 2019 at 7 p.m. I'll do the roll call. Julie Moeller, Eric Simon,
here.
Shannon Roberts, Beth Chang,
here.
Andrew Basney,
here.
Lisa Gillis,
here.
Susan Charette. And we do not appear to have any public comment. So we can go to the commissioner reports and updates.
Okay, so Eric, do you want to start?
Sure. I guess the freshest thing was this morning was the Institutional Leaders Breakfast over at Cheney Mansion, which is an annual breakfast put on by Planet Green, really to kind of bring together all the community leaders to discuss progress from the previous year, as well as talk about kind of initiatives moving forward. It's well attended. It's, you know, it's school board members, it's mayors, it's kind of a pretty decent showing. From River Force, we had Julie. She presented, which was great because I believe that Kathy couldn't make it for some reason. She's out of town. So Kathy Aducey couldn't make it. So Julie did the update after the mayor of Oak Park did his. She did a really good job, like great job, talking about the initiatives we're doing and kind of what we're looking at moving forward. John was there. Eric Palm was there. Susan Charette from our commission was there. Anthony from D90. Am I missing anybody else from River Force that was there? I think that was the gamut. So it went well. Every year it's, you know, kind of good to see everybody and go over the report card. I'd say what was really different this year was that it was very kid centric. And I forgot to bring the notes with me, but the group of Beth, I think you know about them, like the formal group of kids that got funding to do environmental work from OPRF.
It's our future.
Thank you. So it's our future. Kids were there, including the one that just went to Madrid for the International Climate Conference. So she did an update, which was super cool. Like what she experienced there, she actually got, you know, just kind of by accident got invited to be on a panel at the last second.
Wow.
Which got her into kind of the inner conference. And it sounded like it was really fascinating. She was on a panel with, you know, these incredible student leaders who had, you know, done amazing things in their respective countries. Ellie is on that, as part of that organization too, although she was sick today, so she wasn't there. But the cool thing is all the kids did the Planet Green report card report versus, you know, Gary doing his usual thing. It was pretty refreshing. They kind of brought a different spin to it. Each of the kids covered a section that is kind of personally important to them and reported to the group on what was going on. So overall, it was a really nice event.
Okay. Andy?
I don't have any updates.
So I guess I should have saved what I said when I first came in. I'll say this for the record, is that today Katie Brennan and I were at the ComEd Green Region reception for award winners. And so River Forest was among a number of other villages that received a grant for $5,000 through the 2019 award for the Parkways for Pollinators. And you can see from the list that I'm passing around that there are villages, you know, represented around Chicagoland region, but the theme is focused on pollinators. And so I think we were in good company.
Okay, well then I can speak to the fact that I attended the, at By School, it was part of the One Earth Film Festival. They did a film night last Tuesday. They had done the film, they did the film night to try to raise consciousness with regard to the increase in use of plastics and actually just overall bad behavior related to reducing, recycling, reusing, tied to the holiday season. And basically there was a representative from Oak Park and a River Forest in a panel discussion afterwards. Susan Charette was also there. We tabled at the meeting as well. And it did lead to a need that I've taken on to update our tabling materials. I think we need to figure out kind of for the different types of events we go to, what tabling materials do we need? Because literally I was at work before, like half an hour before I was going to leave, and I'm like, well, what are we going to do? Because it was all about recycling we're using. So I did print off the composting signage from the website. I printed off the recycling guide, the recycle reuse guide that's on the website. I forgot what it's called, Beyond the Bin.
Oh, yeah.
So I did that. I know that's going to be updated. So I basically told Julie that coming out of that, and I'm sorry, I just broke your pen.
That's all right.
I will just kind of like look at everything we have and try to say, okay, if the event is for green ecosystems, here's the materials you should use. If it's for recycling, here's the materials you should use. And then just kind of create, maybe get it out of the yellow bag and put it in a box so that we're, I think, more prepared for these things. It turned out wonderfully. Don't get me wrong. It was great. It would just be easier, I think, for all of us to know kind of what materials do we need to use when, including getting a sample composting bin from Roy Strom, the little one, so we can just have it and use it.
Do we have anything, like material-wise, handout-wise?
That I thought, but
do we have a commission pamphlet or something?
For the composting thing?
No, just in general, like on anything, really, that we do.
We don't. That would be, I think, part of this, like what do we say about ourselves? I think we have a lot of other materials, but to your point, like who are we, what do we do? And if it's a composting skewed event, what does that look like? Or recycle, reuse, event, what does that look like? If it's, again, green, depending on our strategy, if you look at kind of what we're talking about today, what are the different materials that we could share or talk about? So I think it's all kind of this, maybe this plan matrix and everything else we do is, I guess, somewhat tied together. So that would be it for, you know, kind of meetings I've attended. Okay. Metric update. I know Shannon sent me an email, and she said that you and Shannon were going to meet to talk about metrics.
Right. We've made several attempts to schedule a time, interrupted by Santa lines and tree decorating and things like that. So, unfortunately, I don't have anything substantive to report yet.
And actually, before we move on, I guess I don't know where this fits. So, but Julie had wanted me to see if anybody could attend the bike walk webinar, Complete Streets 101. Did you guys see that?
When is it?
Hold on. This is where I'm going to become very. She sent an email out, and basically, she didn't send it to everybody. But basically, it's this Thursday from noon to 1. It's called Complete Streets 101. And basically, the description is complete streets are streets that are designed for all road users, including pedestrians, bicyclists, transit riders, and motorists of all ages and abilities.
Lisa, I could do that. It's a webinar. It's not like an in-person.
It is a webinar.
The webinar, I could do that.
Yes. Okay, so Andy, you can do it.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Thank you. And then the other thing is, and did you have the email? Because she sent it to you.
No, but I think I do.
All right, I can forward it to you again. I'll do it right now.
Thank you.
So I'm sorry, who's putting that webinar on?
Hold on. Is
it Active Trans?
Yeah, it's Active Trans. I see the email here. Yeah.
So the idea is that it's providing sort of education for communities that are trying to do more with bicycling?
Yeah, Beth, I will copy you on the email, too. Basically, it's a seminar we'll be hosting a webinar on December 12th on the basics of complete streets policy so you have a better understanding of what such a policy is and what it means for your community or why it's important to advocate for one. Mm-hmm. You just need to register, Andy?
Yeah.
Do ask you to register.
Yeah, I'll register.
Okay. So I sent it. We're set.
Thank you.
The second thing is Julie did push the town attorney with, or I should say the village attorney with regard to pursuing a plastic bag tax. And per the attorney, it's not something that we can do because we're not home rule. And if you're home rule, you have a lot more, and again, John, feel free to speak. You have a lot more ability to do what you want, I guess, in terms of taxing and the like. So basically, we're going to go back to plan A, which is really building relationships with retailers and strongly suggesting that they reduce their use of plastics, whether that be plastic straws or plastic bags. And that really speaks to, I think, coming up with a plan, which at present we don't have one. And I told Julie that I would try to kind of write one sometime between now and January, which then leads to the goals matrix.
Is there a strong push to become home rule?
No. In fact, that was done. That was tried years ago. No. Although there could be groups that would like to, but I don't know of anything happening in the community at this time that would suggest that.
So, Lisa, what is it that you just said you're going to try to write?
Basically, I would call it the project plan, one pager for single-use plastics.
So the way, just to kind of expand on what Lisa's saying, the way that Julie teed it up this morning to the big group was that we're just going to have to focus on education and like event-based things like,
behavior. Like behavior?
Yes, like behavior versus, and trying to incentivize people, in non-monetary ways and partnering with, like we've been doing, like you guys have been doing, like having conversations with local businesses and things like
that. Well, I wonder if one way to create incentive, and this is just a little brainstorming, but it relates to the metrics a little bit, is if we can establish some baseline metrics for how much single-use plastics retailers are using and make it kind of like a community-wide effort where people you can feel like, oh, after a year, we'll measure it again. And this is where you have like a goal, like a community-wide goal, and you somehow make it, people just, other than just an individual thing, like as a village, right? I don't know if it's like a competition between the different stores or just an internally set up something to make it fun and something where I feel like, oh, I'm going to make that extra effort to run back to my car for the reusable bags because I see, it's like the thermometer thing, right? Like I see something happening in our village.
Exactly.
And my small action is contributing to this larger goal. Because otherwise, we all know it's hard. I've been, guilty of like going in the store and realizing I left my bags in the car. And so just some thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
About how to incentivize people, like make it fun, make it rewarding, make us all feel like we're achieving, moving towards a goal. So
I agree. I think that's kind of the way we're going to have to approach it. And hopefully we can engender support from the retailers themselves. And we are going to be sticking with those larger, the larger retailers that do distribute bags. So it'd be Jewel, CVS, Fresh Time.
Wonder if this is something that Ellie would be interested in. You just need sort of, I'm thinking like some younger people with maybe a little more creativity or a little more time to come up with something.
Exactly. And that then leads us to the matrix. Basically, the goal is to meet in January to really look at a final version of this and then in February put it in front of the board. And so I wasn't at the last meeting. Julie did say that we needed to try to make it more legible by actually creating, kind of all the cells and maybe replicating. And it would be good. So I guess what I'm hoping to get at today's meeting is to ensure that we've included all the programs and just to remind everybody, we're trying to have a one pager that specifically kind of summarizes what our goal is, what are the strategies to achieve that goal, and then what are the tactics, meaning the programs that align with the strategies that achieve the goal. So I'm hoping, but again, you tell me, when Julie went through it last time, did she basically, I guess I would start from the top. I mean, are we all aligned with the overarching purpose of the commission and what we're trying to achieve here. And I'll read it. The Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission's purpose is to enhance the quality of life of its residents through the study and promotion of sustainable practices that conserve natural resources and protect the environment. So it's pretty, you know, kind of high level. But I think it does give us what we need in terms of the leeway to, you know, adjust it to kind of our specific needs. And the matrix does list strategies that enable the village residents and institutions to protect the environment by reducing the level of greenhouse gas emissions we are producing, and that are the source of climate change. So it ultimately does ladder up to greenhouse gas emissions. And the strategies are replace fossil fuel sources with renewable energy, expand green transportation and mobility options, protect water sources, as well as reduce waste and consumption, reduce waste and increase waste diversion, sequester carbon and enhance support for ecosystems, and then measure our success. So,
I mean, I think it's overall really great, minor sort of edit thing. I don't know that we capitalize climate change. Is that a thing to capitalize it?
Good point. I don't know.
Okay. I just probably wouldn't.
I mean, one thing with regard to stuff like that, I mean, if you guys want to send me any edits you might have on the language, mm-hmm. that might be the easiest way to kind of gather edits.
Yeah, I mean, I think at a high level, it's really great. I haven't really like cross-read it against whatever our, you know, there is like a charter or a purpose for the commission. So, I mean, this sounds good to me, but I didn't mm-hmm. check it against that. Are we saying that this is sort of our, for the 2020 plan or?
Exactly. And I think what we're trying to do is simplify and focus. I think first, and this is just my interpretation. Like if you think about the Sustainability Commission and kind of what it's all about, right? We've gotten here and we've been quite successful by the sheer will of mm-hmm. all participants, right?
Right.
Starting with, I would say those that came before me. And the thought is, how do we now leverage that success and I guess as Julie would say, make it more sustainable. So it's something that can transcend any one individual mm-hmm. By again, I guess simplifying and focusing.
Well, I do like the overt focus on saying that we're trying to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and have an impact on climate change. I think that's good.
I know we're trying to keep it to one page, and mm-hmm. not make it too busy.
Yeah, we are.
But do we need to have any comments on what any of these items may mean, or what?
Well, that gets into the second part of the show and tell, which would be right in front of you.
Okay.
And these two things would work together. And I'm just going to give you because I actually have kind of blown out. I've spent most of my time on sequester carbon and enhanced support for ecosystems, not knowing that's really what I was, quite frankly, doing. I was just focusing on taking over for Sue Crothers, the Parkway for Pollinators programs, Natives Edibles, and the Integrated Pest Management and Healthy Lung, Healthy Family. So if you just, what I try to do, and I do think this is actually important, having taken over a project from somebody else, is again, one pagers are always good. So if you look at the Pollinator for Parkway program, you have the objective and the strategy, which are really just tied to because again, we're using the somebody's strategy becomes an objective, so it all kind of waterfalls down. So if the objective is sequester carbon, enhance support ecosystems, the strategy for Pollinator for Parkway program is to enhance the square footage of native and edible plantings through the Village of River Forest. So then you have a series of tactics. We have a program status because this program is funded for 3 years through a grant made possible by Planet Green. So at the end of next year, it's done. The impact is by the end of the program, it'll be 2,200 square feet of new native planting at a cost of, I actually do have the final number because I got the budget from Deep Roots. I think it's $22,200, and you can see kind of the gardens added. And from my perspective, owning this program now is the future action is we need to expand the program by offering sun and shade gardens to institutions and places of worship. We had good success this year with Lincoln School and Trinity High School, who took actually two Pollinator for Parkway programs each. They are actually in a better position than residents to maintain those programs because both schools have Green for Good programs or horticulture programs, and they put it as part of their curriculum. So if we can get, for example, Roosevelt Middle School to do it and maybe get, you know, Willard to do it, that would be a great thing. And perhaps getting some of, the, you know, getting St. Luke's to do it so that we're, because I think we're actually coming to, we've saturated the residential market. We are expanding pollinator gardens for those that are in front of residential homes that are really passionate about it. But we've also had to do some maintenance to those gardens that are not necessarily as well cared for as we would like by other residents.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we have to, at the end, you know, once the funding is done for fiscal 20, is decide kind of what makes sense and create another three-year plan in terms of, you know, the native and plantings and edible gardens. And then I don't have to go through all of them. So that was just an example. And what I kind of, when I did this, it actually helped me focus on, okay, what have we accomplished? Like, what are we trying to do? What have we accomplished? Where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, these programs have to live beyond Eric, Lisa, Beth, and Andy. So the only way to do it is to really articulate a cohesive, short and sweet, mind you, summary. You have Pollinator for Parkway program, and I continue to noodle this. We have the Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family program, which, by the way, needs to be revised. We have the Integrated Pest Management program, and I have asked Mike Sletten for impact in terms of the, you know, how long this program has even been around for the Village Park District and Public Works, because we don't even know, and that's information we should know. So again, by doing these, you kind of are forced to fill in some blanks. We have the, you know, edible garden program, waste sorting practices, which really gets into like what are we trying to do there with regard to our sorted out stations and other things, and then that's it. And you'll see single-use plastic reduction or reducation, since I can't spell or type. That's something we have to work on. So the thought would be is if we can agree that these are the programs we want to focus on, we would then do a one-pager for each of these, which, again, serves two purposes. It's something that we can then use to document what we're doing, but then it actually provides a mechanism that allows us to better transfer projects across team members when necessary, and also ensure that they continue to evolve as necessary. So yes, short term pain, long term gain in terms of the time it takes to actually think about these programs and pull them together.
Well, I think it's brilliant, and thank you for all your work, Lisa. I mean, I think in terms of the programs, the only ones that I had questions about are, is there a reason that community solar is not listed under business? Is that just how?
You know what? Primarily because I didn't know, and I was updating this last night. And I thought, as opposed to me assuming where these things would go, it might make sense. So, for example, Eric, not that I want to put you on the spot, but a lot of what you do is in this first grouping.
Yeah, it's like this first section here.
Right. So, you know, so as opposed to, so it just might be helpful, you know, for you to perhaps take this section.
Yeah, because like in business, okay. Beth, I would put, like, I don't think businesses would do community solar. Like, they wouldn't buy into a public solar project. But they would buy RECs is the most likely thing they would do, buy the credits. You know, that's not in here,
okay.
Stuff like that. So
all right,
need to,
so those details can be
adjusted.
I
need to help Lisa out and just kind of fill in some of the blanks here. Right. That's, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And that might be better, you know, again, if we each, if Eric, you can kind of look and say, okay, what makes sense? I mean, the one thing I do know is we got bronze last year. Maybe we want to go for solar.
Right.
Right.
And you're right.
And then how do we work with the village to make sure that we, you know, can do that? And I put individual solar against everything because anybody can put solar panels on their roof.
Right. Including like the park district could wake up tomorrow and decide.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
And a similar question under the reduced waste is institutional composting. Oh, I see. Under businesses, you probably just didn't want to make any assumptions about what they might or might not be willing to do.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
The institutional composting isn't listed under businesses. Was that your same thinking as just you didn't want to make any assumptions about what businesses would be willing to do, or?
I just didn't know how they would do it. I mean, in terms of, it made sense for institutions. And in fact, a lot of our institutions already do. If I think of District 90 and Roosevelt, you know, they already do zero waste and do composting of their waste. Places of worship make sense if they have a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I figured the government should because they're one of us. I just didn't know. And maybe it does. Like if you think about Whole Foods, what do they do with their food waste? Could they compost it? You know? So, mm-hmm. Yes, that would be something that I think we would just have to determine if that makes sense. But, again, that's where it gets into who owns what and what is the plan.
Well, I guess it's also whether this matrix represents sort of things that could be done or, to your point, if we're trying to simplify it and say these are specifically goals for 2020, then it would make
exactly.
sense to leave some of these things out because you can't push everything at once.
Exactly.
In fact, might make me think about like taking some of them out. But, you know, like is it a big priority for us to push rainwater reclamation by places of worship in 2020?
Right.
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 I mean, that might make the matrix look simpler too if we say this is not a representation of everything that we could do, but where we want to focus our efforts.
Well, there's also stuff that other organizations are doing
mm-hmm.
that we might not want to be redundant on, like, you know, like the Interfaith Green Network is pushing religious institutions to do things like rainwater, you know,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So we kind of have to layer that onto this also.
True. And or, for example, I would say this is just me for rainwater reclamation using the whole thing with institutions. It would like places of worship. If they're doing that, just having somebody, you know who to call
right,
to say
right
what's going on
and
basically make sure that it's covered. Because to me, knowing that it's covered is part of the plan.
Yeah, because I think in several sections of this, you have sort of the partners or the players.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
So
exactly.
That's in here, I guess.
So you would have,
let's say, called Jim
exactly.
Babcock, Interfaith Green Network, you know, for
exactly, because we don't necessarily, again, at the end of the day, if somebody else has got it covered, great. We just need to know it's covered and then pull that, to your point, into the plan. If you have information, this is who the connection is. And even with, for example, a lot of these programs, and this is something that I think we have to do more conversations with, like with Parkway for Pollinators programs, we already know how it fits in. At least to the Green Block Party. We would never take it out. Joan runs that. Joan actually works very closely with David Murphy, who's, you know, deep roots. So basically the role of the person running this for the Sustainability Commission is just basically ensuring that the program continues to evolve in recognizing opportunities and then, you know, kind of ensuring that, you know, maybe making some calls to kind of push it to the next level. I mean, again, Lincoln, again, if I go to Pollinator for Parkway program with regard to going into institutions, you know, the Lincoln School Green for Good program called and said, we want to do this. And then my husband's on the Trinity board. So I basically, you know who runs student programs. So I reached out to them because we had some gardens left and I'm like, do you want these? And again, that's why I think the institution part is actually a great place to go because it actually is so much tied to education as well. So I don't know if it makes sense to maybe identify who could at least cover these things and maybe develop the plans. I've got, again, as I said, the only thing I don't have necessarily covered under you know, the annual tree tour and the village tree map, which
I could something together.
Yeah, or I could, you know, if you want, I can take a stab and send it to you. But between the two of us, and then the interesting thing is that section is, and I'm a big noodler, so I'll noodle and edit till the cows come home. But at the end of the day, that one section is pretty well done, at least in terms of having a plan, you know, that we can kind of, I think, kind of put forth in front of the village trustees and say kind of this is what we're doing. And I think that we potentially have people that own all those projects. Some of the, you know, some of these other things, I'm not quite sure we have owners for all of them.
Which is okay for now. I mean, we can.
Right, right, right. Where some of these, for example, expand green transportation and mobility options. I know that, Andy, you spent a lot of time with the bike plan. Mm-hmm. And now that's moving into implementation. We're saying we need to do some, there's some walkability plan and then a public transportation plan. Like,
yeah.
You know, that really, I think, is more of a village thing. And again, I don't know kind of what, you know, where it is. But that might be, you know, something that is more, is more of oversight than actual doing. I don't know. But I don't know if it makes sense to maybe just, Eric, if you can do the solar thing, and if between Angie and I, we cover tree tour and village tree map, I can get Susan to do the, she's already updating Beyond the Bin directory, and she has volunteered for the green directory, so that's Susan's. I already said I would do, you know, the single-use plastic reduction. I don't know if anybody has, you know, would volunteer to take on any of these to try to, A, if it is something you're already doing, or if I need to go back to Julie, because a lot of this stuff could be stuff that she's been the kind of one-man band handling.
So which ones don't have somebody to write something for?
Well, that's a good question. Hold on.
Some of these go hand in hand, right? I mean, so
yeah, some of these we might, again, we might say, well, gee, they're really similar and maybe we can combine them.
I mean, I almost think, so it says strategies, maybe those are the objectives. It seems like for each one of these there should be, on the left side, there probably should be a summary write-up, I would think. Because I mean, I assume that we're not doing something separate for community solar versus individual solar and aggregation. That kind of all,
as far as
connects.
Like,
yeah, as far as like a,
no, it'd be the same thing.
Yeah.
Right, and some of these might be one, yeah, could be one program.
Like same objective, just different tactics to get there.
Right.
Well, I think
the only challenge I would say with that is that if the more granular you make the programs, the more you can actually have different people in charge of the different ones.
Right.
If it's too, if we create the projects at too high a level, they become larger projects that are harder to then delegate to have other people do.
I mean, I think we need the specific ones. If you're, maybe you're thinking you also need, I don't know if you need anything more around the things on the left-hand column, but right now these are written for like specific things inside each of these cells, right?
Right. And I specifically focus, I mean, again, I specifically focused on the ones that I was responsible for. And the waste sorting practices, I kind of took that one on because the sorted out stations was something that fell under my purview just because of green block parties.
I mean, just to take one off of your hands or something, if you said nobody's written one for community garden, I could reach out to Mary and get probably information from her and
okay,
put something
awesome
together.
That'd be cool because it's all in her head. If you, you know, we just need to get it done.
Uh-huh.
Right, and I think we also, this might be a good time to find out if is Mary interested in keeping, you know, to do it, you know, like how do we evolve it? I know the, you know, the good news is the park district runs it. So when, again, this gets in the other thing, when, you know, the park district should be doing a lot of the heavy lifting, We should just be ensuring it's going in the right direction. So the question is, are we satisfied with that? And then if not, where do we need to take it?
What's the deadline then for finishing these?
Ideally, we'd review them all in January at the January meeting. So,
okay.
So that we have them, or at least have drafts done so that they can be finalized and shared. And John, this is something that Julie had wanted me to ask you, is if February is a good time to go in front of the, the village trustees, or if there's a better meeting.
Well, that I don't know until we're closer to that time. I think it would be fine.
Okay, so that's a good goal. So. Okay.
Right, right. So the January meeting would be on the 14th, just so you guys know.
Ours?
Yes, our meeting would be on the 14th, the regularly scheduled one, unless there's conflicts, and then we can pick a different date.
So I guess I just want to go back to my question about where this is supposed to be the things we're prioritizing for 2020.
Correct.
Because that will be the answer to people if it looks like there's holes or something like that, right? I would just make that. I mean, I know it says 2020 up there, but the statement at the top that says the following matrix list strategies to enable, I would just make it real clear that this is not supposed to be a comprehensive description of all possible strategies.
It's like a summary.
And that it's specifically, we've prioritized what things we want to focus on in 2020, which I think is really smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we can't be everywhere and do everything. And that's probably what I would just say is if we look at this again with that lens and say to ourselves, are these things all things that we can move forward with and measure and show some sort of progress on in 2020? Because I feel like certain things like waste sorting practices that maybe when this was first created, that it was more from the point of view of, well, what strategies can each of these institutions possibly engage in, right? So in 2020, are we going to be giving equal effort and emphasis to getting residents, institutions, businesses, places of worship, and government to improve their waste sorting practices?
Well, let me tell you what the plan currently says that I wrote. Okay. Basically, the tactics for waste sorting practices, there are three. Oversee the residential recycling program maintained by the Village of River Forest through a contract with Roy Strom. So the subpoints there are ensure that the program remains one of the best in the country, with advances in residential recycling incorporated into the program in a timely manner, and educate village residents through the maintenance and distribution of recycling tips and trips on the tricks on the village website. So again, this is where I think defining what we mean by, waste sorting practices comes in here. The second thing is the sorted out station program, which we continue to do, and then zero waste stations. So those are the tactics specifically under waste sorting practices, at least for fiscal year 20. And actually, it's interesting. For most of the things that are on here, there is some level of effort somewhere being done. And I think part of this exercise is also to say, again, are we set? And fiscal year 20 might be, let's just kind of make sure we know what we're doing and why, and then figure out where do we want to take these things, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And there could be stuff in here that we're like, let's not even worry about it. But again, I would keep rainwater reclamation on here, and it would be a quick and easy project once we got an update from the Planet Green team and what they're doing.
So just using this particular one as an example, the things that are in the plan
mm-hmm.
are basically residents and government, right? Because the zero waste stations are kind of
That's
government,
true.
Right? And so either we take it out of the matrix under the other three, not to say that those places shouldn't do it or that we don't want to encourage them, but it's not something that we as a commission are really focused on in 2020. Or if we leave them on there, then we would add like a bullet tactic that might be something like that the 2020 goal is gather baseline data on waste sorting practices at institutions, businesses, and places of worship.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And I would say probably waste, like I would keep institutions on here because I know at lunchtime they're already doing you know, sorting and composting. But to your point, are we going to roll it out to businesses, places of worship? Probably not. So that would come off. But that would be an opportunity area for the future.
Right. Only just thinking about our limited capacity.
No, I get it. But that's why we're, you know, again, that's why I think we're going through this to, like, again, because I don't think we necessarily have done a great job of, like, we do a lot in pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to kind of, again, pull it all together such that we.
Well, yeah, and it gives you a roadmap then to exactly. say, well, if in 2020 we focused on residents and government, you know, then in 2021 or 2022, you can. Mm-hmm. You
and
know,
to your point, then the measurement thing. You know, again, like how many pounds of waste? Well, we don't know, but we can certainly perhaps talk to, you know, Roy Strom and have him give them that number in the future, or talk to the schools and have them give us that number in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Part of this exercise is to say, what is the program? And you know what? To your point, waste sorting business, waste sorting places of worship, let's make that, you know, fiscal year 21 and take them off. Just like unused food distribution, that's kind of a future thing.
So in the individual little descriptions here, the impact section, is this, I guess, is it half report, half goal setting? I mean, the impact right now seems to be backwards looking, right? To give like a report on the impact of the program so far?
Correct.
So if this is kind of accompanying a matrix that's giving us our overall goals, you know, do we want some kind of measure of success for 2020?
I think we would if we can, or it could be in 2020. Part of the one of our goals is to put in place those KPIs that can be, because I don't know if these are the same KPIs, quite frankly, and I will just, again, having written these are the KPIs that I thought were easy to get and at least gave us some sort of.
I actually don't know what a KPI is. What's that?
Key performance indicator.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is the thing that Shannon's working on.
The metrics.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. Right. Got it. Okay.
So, yeah. So, I mean, again, in the absence of KPIs, yeah. trying at least on a looking back basis,
yep.
saying what have we achieved, and then on a going forward basis, the question is what should we be tracking?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we could maybe split those out. You know, maybe as opposed to impact, is what have we achieved thus far? You know, what are our future metrics?
I mean, I like the word impact. You know, it might just be a placeholder or something to say that we're developing mm-hmm. future metrics.
And I think what I found also is it's, you know, particularly I think with the Parkway for Pollinator Program, I mean, and if I go back to the Green America Climate Victory Map, Victory Garden Map, it's very easy to track that. And I think we're also tracking it on our websites in terms of the, you know, some of these are easier to measure than others, I guess is what I'm saying. And we just don't even think about it in terms of measurement, but they're really right in front of us. You know, and Andy, for example, if you do the annual tree tour and village tree map, maybe those two things come together, and it's just like celebrating trees, right? And just make it one.
Yep, I would do those together.
Right, and that's where I think, you know, I'd rely on you to say, okay, this is how I want to do it.
Yep. Sounds good.
Okay. And then I also think, and Beth, this is something to think about, is once, like, as if you look at, for example, sequester carbon enhanced support ecosystems, and if we have most of that kind of mapped out, which we would once we get community garden, you know, maybe that's a good place to start with what should the metrics be, what data should we be collecting, and see if we can actually collect it. The same thing with, you know, maybe the renewable energy. So those are two sections that are pretty well covered in terms of at least knowing where we've been and knowing where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other ones might require some more.
Well, there must be pretty good data about the waste.
There is. I mean, in the green, in the Planet Green. Their report card. And I can certainly continue to do what I, you know, consider to be, you know, just kind of trying to pull together the project plans for those other things that we know we're doing, like composting, for example. We know we're doing them. Mm-hmm. Like, what is about, like, let's pull it together into some sort of a plan that includes all the pieces and parts and make it a, on a going forward basis, make it a very rational, you know, make it a choice rather than just inertia that keeps us moving forward. And if there are other, you know, who would I reach out to for the rainwater thing?
Who do we reach out for rainwater?
For the, what the institution, what the, what they.
So for like the, I always forget the acronym, but the, it's a.
Is it the green churches, yeah, for lack of a better term?
I don't know. I just went blank on it, but it's, what's wrong with me? Jim Babcock.
Interfaith.
Okay.
Interfaith Green Network. Thank you. So it's Jim Babcock as well as Judy Clem. They're kind of the two heads of it right now. And I have contact information for both of them if you want me to pass it on.
Yeah, pass it on, because then I can ask them the question. You know, in the residence, for us, the rainwater reclamation, it's really, we already do the rain barrels.
Right.
Do we need to, again, that gets into, do we need to, you know, remind people that they should do the rain barrel?
It's almost like anything under the place of worship vertical here.
Oh, is that
really? We can somewhat partner with. I mean, I don't know they're working on all this, so maybe not all of it, but they're a good place to start, at least to kind of have a cup of coffee with them and make sure we're not stepping on each other.
No, and that would be great to just basically have them keep us informed,
yeah,
and vice versa.
Awesome. Awesome.
And make sure. So, for example, I mean, the reason, just to give you some background in terms of how, why we split it out like this, I'll just say for the integrated pest management, I have a relationship with, and again, I took it over from Sue Crothers with, what's it called? I know his name is Ryan Anderson, Midwest Grows Green, right? And they have a very strong relationship with Patagonia. And they're doing, Patagonia is doing grants with regard to, you know, kind of using natural integrated pest management practices versus pesticides and the things like that. There isn't, and that's why I think particularly that program, how do we get some of that money potentially? You know, can we do a better job of working with the park district to, you know, to have them, you know, do more, you know, and maybe there's grants available. Like, we haven't taken advantage of that at all. But I do know that, for example, St. Vincent's, we got a resident that reached out because St. Vincent's is using True Green or the equivalent. Well, we just need to reach out to them. And I haven't done it yet, because to say, like, okay, you know, what's our point of view? How do we help not only St. Vincent's, but then what is St. Luke's doing? It gets into what are all of those, you know, the church is doing. The same with, if you think about the institutions, I think District 90 does a great job, but then you have Concordia and Dominican. So that's where, and we do have connections to them, which then leads to another part of this equation, is like, who should be, you know, the key connection to all these different groups, which quite frankly, once you've established that connection, you know, it's a phone call every once in a while to get, you know, to, or, you know, maybe it's a monthly meeting, to, you know, to say, or a quarterly meeting, you know, what are you doing? How do we make it better? There is untapped potential definitely amongst Dominican University with regard to their student body that's very, you know, has actually a pretty militant green group.
At Dominican.
Yeah. Concordia, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Trinity, there's opportunity there.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, kind of understanding those institutions and where they are. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of excited that Interfaith Green Network, you know, if we could work through them And I could, if I could take my St. Vincent's inquiry and send it over to them, you know, because they're already connected, that's better than me creating a separate
for sure
way in. So do we know of any, you know, any other connections like Interfaith Green Network that might help us in terms of, I guess I should do over here, help us in terms of the old adage, many hands make light work?
Well, there's a lot. If you look at it at a high level, it's everybody we already work with. It's GRC and Planet Green, and you know, it's Oak Park. It's like all the different partners we have in a lot of these things.
Yeah. I just think we should really try to find a way to tap into the It's Our Youth thing, because
that's awesome.
You know, those students, they want to do something, and like you, to your point of defining something doable, or you know, I mean, Ellie could be our conduit to that, right? If we say these are the projects that we want to work on, and you know, go back to that group and see what they're enthused about taking on, because I think this year they've been doing a lot of talking about, you know, and they're learning communication techniques. But if I were them, I would want to like do a project on the ground and see results.
I love that. I mean, we already, you know, we already have Ellie on the commission. Be awesome to have her as like the conduit and
right. I mean, she can
that relationship.
Right, she can you know, bring in other students who are part of that. They don't have to be commission members to work on a project.
Yeah, no, that's why. I mean, we still have the application out there for. I mean, because that covers up. It's Our Planet covers off District 200. At the end of the day, we could have student commissioners from Trinity, Concordia, and you know, Dominican. You know, we certainly could, and we've talked about you know, potentially doing that, but they have to, you know, kind of lean in and want to engage. So I think we have to figure that out. But I think we've made some progress. I mean, I can talk to Susan about Beyond the Bin and the Green Directory.
Thanks.
Andy does, if Beth, you do community gardens.
Yep.
Andy do trees. Eric do the solar.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of making progress. And I would say even if we don't have it fully fleshed out for the meeting with the trustees, if we could, you know.
Do we have a date for that? I mean.
We're targeting for February.
Oh, we are. February meeting.
Yeah.
I think we've made a lot of progress. I mean, this is, I feel like the hard part is kind of the foundation, the structure. You know, we've already done a lot of different exercises where we can fill in these blanks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like whether it was the old goals that we did and all that stuff. So I feel like this, you know, we're mostly through the hard part here. It's a good job on this.
Okay. So we need to schedule our next meeting, which we already said is January 14th.
Right.
Can everybody make that meeting?
Right, so everyone check your calendars and
check the calendars now or forever hold your peace.
It's always in the calendar.
Yep. It's the second Tuesday of the month.
It's not in my calendar. I have to put it in.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Probably because I have to extend it.
Lisa, can I just make two edit comments only because I'll
sure.
save me an email? So on the matrix in terms of readability and that kind of stuff, I wonder if you might consider in each category putting the thing that's going commonly across everybody first in the top row. It's like a minor formatting thing, but I just thought it might make it seem more like when you look at replace fossil fuel sources, you see, you know, individual solar all across the top, and then you see rainwater reclamation. Because right now when you look at it, you know, you're going to go like left to right, and then the first thing you see is NREL planning, which is actually like a really specialized thing. So just something to consider. And then an actual correction is on the Parkways for Pollinators thing under the status. If you could actually add that the funding, there's a grant from Planet Green and ComEd, the Green ComEd Green Region. That's what the grant's actually for.
Well, that's the one you just went to today, right? That
was... Yeah. So just under the Parkway for Pollinators detail thing under status.
It's ComEd Green Region.
ComEd Green Region. So
okay.
You could just say is funded for I'm actually not sure if it's funded for 3 years. The ComEd Green Region is a 1 year grant, and I don't know how many years the Planet Green one is. But you
know, it is more between Planet Green and ComEd.
Okay, so the Planet program is funded for 3 years through grants from Planet Green and ComEd Green Region.
Perfect. Okay, good catch. Thank you. Okay, I know the holidays are upon us, but if there's any way you can maybe get it done, you know, by the first week in January, so I have time to pull it to, you know, kind of at least update it, that would be pretty awesome.
Got it. Fine, okay. Mary.
Is there anything else we need to do this evening?
Then we are adjourned.